virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Lord, the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for these next few moments, God, that your word will strike us deep in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for this Christmas season. Christ the Lord is born. I pray, God, that we will sing, we will shout, we will dance, because we are the redeemed of the Lord. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated as the video is getting ready. Could you imagine being in a place and God shows up? Well, this one took place at a mall. I believe you're going to see something here. A little way back, a choir showed up at the mall, and I'm telling you, they showed out. Watch this. You guys ready to go? When God breaks the silence, how many of you know that God speaks louder in strange places? When the birth took place, it wasn't in a temple. It wasn't shiny. It wasn't before like all these priests and pastors. It happened in a place that no one even thought of. After, as if it was saying, God, what is going on? What is taking place here? We are all witnesses this morning of the fact that God has spoken into our lives. Do you remember the moment, listen, when God broke his silence to you? We were once lost in darkness and God spoke. Many of you, I don't know about you, many of you are probably in the church. But I know that sometimes God speaks to individuals outside. He may speak at a park. He may speak at a mall. Wherever. God breaks his silence as to us as individuals. When God shows up, it's usually in unexpected ways. This is what the birth of Jesus Christ was all about. When we read about the birth of Christ, and Luke tells us about it in such a way to show us there was a great celebration that was taking place. The Gospel of Matthew, if you remember, if you're Bible students in here, Matthew opens up his gospel with a genealogy, sort of proving that Christ is the Messiah. Mark opens up his gospel sort of like in a desert place, but Luke opens it up in such a different way. You say, what was Luke all about? Well, Luke never saw Jesus before. Yes, Luke became a disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus, but he never saw him before. You say, how do we know that? Because the Bible opens up in the book of, I believe it's Acts, and said that he received all his instruction from eyewitnesses. So he says he's investigated all these things, and he put them together. And now we read a full dialogue on what the Jesus birth was all about. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says, when the angel appeared before the shepherds, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I once said for 400 years, church, nothing new was added to the Bible. The prophets just didn't speak any longer after the time of Malachi. But during this time of silence, the wars broke out. The nation of Israel was suffering under the domination of Greece and also Rome. And so throughout the time, the Jewish people understood from the Old Testament that they were waiting for a Savior, the Messiah, to provide for them a deliverer. And as the nation of Israel was struggling, as you know, the prophets, they weren't speaking any longer. They were dispersed. They were waiting for this Messiah to come. When you and I look at a genealogy, we would think it's kind of old and boring. But tell that to Alex Haley. Many of you know Alex Haley, the sort of the author of Roots. As he looked at his genealogy, he looked kind of close to it. He found in his genealogy, which many of you saw Roots before, the name Kunta Kinte. So how you and I probably looked at the genealogy really didn't matter. But you tell that to Alex Haley, it mattered deeply. He understood where he was from. So the Jewish people in the way were looking for this promised Messiah to deliver them. How many know that God uses the foolish things of this world to shame even the wise? Notice with me the audience who God spoke to during the time around Jesus' birth. He spoke first to a humble priest named Zechariah. You remember that? The father of John the Baptist. Then he spoke to a barren wife named Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. A virgin named Mary, a Jewish carpenter named Joseph, disgraceful shepherds, a great uncle named Simeon, and an old prophetess named Anna. In other words, when God chose to break his silence, the people were not really ready to hear his voice. How many of you know that, man, so many times, I don't know about you, but I want to hear from God. I want to hear a word from the Lord. I want God, show me, speak to me. You've been in that place before. You want God to speak into your life. But my question is, yeah, we want God to speak. But when he speaks, are we ready to listen? See, the people of God back here weren't ready. When we read about the birth of Christ, I can't help but notice not only the characters, but the countenance of the characters who saw, heard, and believed the report of the angel. So I want to focus this morning on the character, in particular, Mary. When God breaks his silence in our lives, I believe that we can learn from the life of Mary or how he wants us to respond in the year 2010. I want to take a brief moment to observe Mary's four things: her reaction, her response, her responsibility, and the results. First, I want to look at this in verse 28, Mary's reaction. In verse 28 through 30, if you have it, say amen. Watch what takes place here. You know, we kind of read this story. We don't really stop and think, dude, an angel showed up to Mary. What if you went home tonight and an angel showed up at your house? You'd probably kick him out. Verse 28 says it this way, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. It says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Notice how Mary's first reaction when the angel spoke to her was fear. I was reading the message. The message is sort of like a contemporary language on the scriptures. And watch what it says here in the message written by Eugene E. Peterson. It writes about Mary's reaction this way. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. When the angel first spoke to her, I believe Mary was, first of all, trying to comprehend why in the world is there an angel in front of me? I mean, why in the world are you, first of all, speaking to me? And why in the world are you calling me favored? When I looked at this greeting, many of us cannot listen to this. I believe this is really important in our lives as we look at her reaction. Some of us are totally like shocked that God loves us. Some of us are totally shocked that you receive God's favor. Some of us are totally shocked that God really wants to bless you. There are a lot of believers today that do not have a hard time accepting God's blessing in their life. For example, I used to, as I was, you know, learning about Jesus, because I didn't grow up in a church, I was learning about Jesus, and I was learning about what he wanted to do in my life and how it became real, that it wasn't about a church necessarily, but I had a living relationship with God. And then all of a sudden, through my relationship with him, God began to speak to me. Listen, church. God began to bless me, right? And I didn't know how to handle it because I just thought, okay, God, if you bless me, I know something bad's going to happen to me. That was just my mindset. And I used to walk around in fear. After God blessed me, I used to feel guilty. Oh, God, you blessed me, now what? I'm watching out. No, listen. God's favor is on you, period. God wants to bless. See, Mary didn't understand this. She didn't even listen to what the angel told her because she was afraid. She didn't understand that she was already favored with God. How do you handle that news? Do you know who you are because Christ is in your life? You are already favored with God. You are already a child of God. Walk in it now. Mary was afraid. She didn't understand how God saw her so favored before himself. Once again, Mary was trying to understand the supernatural with the natural. Let me just say this. When God shows up, when God speaks, it's supernatural. God will speak things into your life that are not there yet. Do you have faith to hold on to the promises of God, even if it doesn't make sense? But she learned quick that with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Watch in verse 38. Sorry, before we get to verse 38, we want to look at Mary's, not only her reaction, but we want to look at Mary's response. We understand that her reaction was one of fear, was one of disbelief. And I don't know about you, but man, when God shows up, let's just say you're praying for something, you're asking God for something in your life, and God really shows up and he answers your prayer, don't be shocked. I remember in the book of Acts, if I'm not mistaken, in the book of Acts, we read about a girl by the name of Rhoda who was at the house, and they were praying for Peter's release from prison. And God answered it, and the Holy Spirit intervened and got Peter out of prison and showed up at the door and began to knock on the door. And Rhoda went to the door and looked, and she had to kind of do one of these double takes because she couldn't believe that God intervened. Listen, church, when we pray, God will break his silence in our lives. We must be ready for it. Her reaction was one of a healthy fear of God. Secondly, we look at Mary's response. Look in verse 34. Mary's response will probably be my response. Verse 34 says it this way. After the angel told her, I don't even think she probably heard this, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. She was just trying to be like, whoa, there's an angel in front of me. Then he goes on to say in verse 34, how will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I am, angel, I'm a virgin. Maybe you got the wrong address. It just doesn't make sense. That's great and all, angel. I'm glad. Great. After all the promises, I never slept with a man before, and the man that I'm with, I'm not married to him. I'm pledged to be married. So if God, you're going to do, Mary was from Newark. In other words, Mary said this, Lord, I don't have a husband, and I never slept with a man before. In other words, I am a virgin. Like the angel didn't know that already. Like this wasn't prophesied before. Once again, Mary was trying to understand the supernatural with the natural. But she learned quick that with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So she learned really quick. So in verse 38, watch what it says. Verse 38 says it this way. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. She gave up. She couldn't believe it. She said, God, okay, if this is it, God, let it be. Your will be done. In other words, Mary said, although I do not understand it, God, I will trust you. So many of us, God has called you to do something, but our lack of faith robs us from experiencing the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This didn't make sense in the natural mind. But Mary said, Jesus, you are my Lord, you are my, I trust you. Let it be to me as you have said. Do you trust him, church? Some of you are facing impossible situations right now. Has God spoken into your situation? Are you hearing from him? I had an opportunity to go, many of you know this already, to Teen Challenge, their graduation. That was my first time there. And I went to this graduation just trying to support one of the guys who were commencing. And while there, they had sort of a prayer service. I will never be the same after experiencing a prayer service of ex-drug addicts. Like, they don't play in prayer. They go in prayer. And so they were praying, and they called this one other girl up, and she was in the front. I noticed her at the beginning. The place was full, and she grabs the mic. I will never forget this. She grabs the microphone. And before she began to pray, she just walked on the platform like this. Just like this. I'm thinking, you got to start praying. And she just walked. And she was an ex-drug addict. And here's what she said. These were the first words out of her mouth. God, she put her hands up. She said, God, I just want to thank you. God, I want to thank you for a warm bed. God, I want to thank you for a toothbrush and toothpaste. I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of, That's great. You know, I'm thinking. She was once in jail with those freedoms that we take for granted. She realized, she said, God, let me not forget the place where I just was at. And she just began to think, God, I just want to thank you for some clean clothes. God, you know, I want to thank you for a pure mind. And she began to break and weep over the simple things in life. You see, she had a reaction when God came into her life, but her response was pure worship. Mary's response was the same. Lord, let it be as you have said. When she said the word Lord, she said, you are my what? Master. I worship you. I surrender to you. I love you. Not only does she have a response, but next we want to look at Mary's responsibility. In verse 39 through 40, we read it this way. It says, at that moment, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and she greeted Elizabeth. In the message, it says it like this. Mary did not waste even a minute. This tells me this, church. Okay, the angel showed up. It was one of fear, or one of doubt, or one of disbelief, maybe. Her response was just pure worship, but she knew that in her worship, there was a responsibility to spread the good news on what she saw. Mary cannot keep this news to herself. She felt compelled to share the good news with someone else. Right away, Mary knew that she had a huge responsibility to share this experience with someone else. Isn't this the gospel? All throughout, church, take this jacket off, I think I'm rubbing. All throughout the gospel, especially the time right here, everyone's rushing. You think about it nowadays, during the Christmas season, people are crazy. Not you, everybody else. You got cars racing, boom, you get in the boxes, everything, wow, things moving, flying, chicken coming this way, things, plates and things you got to worry about. You got people coming over. It's like the hustle and the bustle, right? I'm about to get into that season right now. But it's just such time. Even unbelievers, for whatever reason, Christmas time comes up. It's a time of celebration. I walked on my block. I'm not joking. I walked on my block. It wasn't even Thanksgiving yet. People started putting lights up. I'm thinking, what in the world? Weird. I looked at my wife and said, honey, why are people putting lights up already? You know, I don't have no lights. You know, that's why I'm mad, I guess. I'm like, what's up with my lights? Why are my lights not up? Why are my Christmas tree not up? People on the block, they're already getting ready. It's like sort of preparation. And they're not even believers. But yet unbelievers are making preparation for the Christmas season. Hello? I'm thinking, God forbid, believers, what great preparation. Listen, and God is a God of timing. Before the birth of Jesus was told about, it was the birth of who? John the Baptist. Why? Because he was the forerunner. God is a God of timing. When God speaks into your life, it is all about timing. Don't give up. Savior's coming. So I'm walking on my block and I see these lights up. I'm saying, honey, why are people putting their lights up? You know why people put their lights up early? They start playing the music for you in the mall. You know why? Because it gets you kind of, you know, regardless of all your problems, you're just like, oh, man, I just want to buy this $5,000 watch for my son. I just don't know why. I just want to buy it for him so he can have it. All the game systems in the world. Mind you, we don't got nothing in the bank account. We just like, yeah, just charge it. Go get it. Just, yeah. Oh, yeah, give me four of those and three of them and two of those. And then we get to January. We're like, what in the world did I just do? Yeah, it's the season. Be careful. Because we'll forget what it's all about. Let me encourage you to practice something in your home. First gift goes to Jesus. Wake up in the morning. It may sound cheesy, but do this. Wake up. I don't care if your kid's a teenager. Wake up in the morning. Have a birthday cake. All right? Put the candle on there. You light the thing. And you sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. And you give, listen, you give something to Jesus. Something. Whether you know my wife and I just want to be a leader. I just want to be a leader. We showed up at the teen challenge thing or whatever, teen challenge thing. And we already support them as a church. My wife and I give heavily to missions and everything. But they had a banquet. And so my wife and I looked at each other and I said, hey, anybody can give $1 a day. And I said, you know what? $1 a day keeps the pain away, I guess. I don't know. So we're going to give $1 a day, right? So I got back home. I said, Lizzie, Danny, listen, we're going to give $1 a day to Teen Challenge. Is that cool? Yeah, that's cool. So whatever. So my daughter, right, her tooth are falling out like crazy. You know what I mean? Just one after the other, whatever. And if you in my home, you're going to want to be in my home after you hear this. In my home, if your front teeth fall out, okay, you get like $20. Because it's your front teeth. Those are the real deals. You know what I mean? So whatever. So we her front teeth came out. Well, we gave the $20 to Lizzie, but not Danny, because we broke. You know what I'm saying? The first one got it. The second one didn't. But anyway, that's another testimony itself. So she had $1. Lizzie had $1 from a tooth that fell out, right? So we're like, oh, that's great, Lizzie. That's great. Listen, Daddy and I, we're going to do $1 a day, okay? And every day, somebody got to give up $1, okay? You got to give up $1. So check this out, right? Lizzie goes, Daddy, guess what? I said, what's up, baby? I got $1 from the time my tooth fell out. I was like, oh, isn't that just so, give me that dollar, girl. Give me that thing. Even at the very youngest, teach them how to give. That's what this season is all about. It's not about ourselves. It's about celebrating the life of Jesus Christ. He was a giver. Celebrate it. Mary understood of her responsibility. Her responsibility was to share the good news. God does a great work in your life so that you can share the good news. I learned this a little bit a while longer. You know what pastors are? Pastors are this, all right? Pastors are nothing. They're just servants, right? God, in his sovereignty, transforms a person's life, right? Transforms their life in such a way. He washes away all their sin. Our response is worship. Do you know why he wants to clean you up? So he can use you. Pastors are a gift back to the church. My life was messed up. I didn't care about Jesus. But when he transformed my life, my responsibility now is to give and give and give and share the good news. I am so excited I'm going to be preaching the gospel in Zimbabwe. I'm so excited about it. I look back and say, God, how in the world did you know this time was going to come? He's a God of timing. If I never would have gave my, and I've been dealing with this the past week, if I never would have gave my life to Christ, if I never asked you to my life, this moment would not have taken place in my walk with you. And why do you want me to go there to share the gospel? But you have a responsibility too. It's not the job of the preacher to share the gospel to everybody at your job. No, God transforms your life. He gives you a response so that you can have a responsibility to share the gospel. That's what this season is all about. Can someone say amen? Amen. Then lastly, we'll look at the result. Not only do I notice Mary's reaction or the response or her responsibility, I notice the result. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. You could turn it there. It's probably up on the overhead. The Bible says in verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, once again, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. If the angel would have never spoke to Joseph, Mary had problems, y'all. Mary could have been stoned to death with Jesus living in her. But the angel saw fit to speak to Joseph, because Joseph was from Newark, and he had problems with his wife being pregnant, and he never touched her. Hello? So it goes on to say this, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you ought to give him the name Jesus, watch this, the result, because he will save his people from their sins. Go, tell it on a mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go, tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. This is what this season is all about. And as I look at Mary, what a great responsibility she had. Can you imagine raising Jesus? Could you imagine this responsibility that Mary had? Do you know one time Jesus, they thought, got lost? You know that? You read a little bit further. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, right? And they're on their way back, and all of a sudden Mary and Joseph are like, Jesus, gone. Could you imagine losing Jesus? Could you imagine guilt? And we just lost the Son of God. And they're going back, and they're like, what's going on? And they found them. They didn't have to spank Jesus. I know Jesus didn't get a spanking. If they lived at Ed House, he would have spanked Jesus. You would have. Could you imagine your hand fall off? Oh! I'm sorry, I think that way. But they get back to the temple. Mary and Joseph are like, Jesus, come here, boy. Come here. Where you been? Jesus looked at them. Didn't I tell you? I'm about my Father's business. And Mary didn't let those words drop to the ground, did she? She understood the gift that she had. She understood the results. She understood now it all came to play what the angel spoke about in the beginning. Today, in the town of Bethlehem, the Savior is born. So my question to you is, has God showed up in your life? Has he broken his silence in your life? If not, church, if there's sin in your life, listen, you cannot have a part in the kingdom of God. God has to speak to you. Secondly, what is your reaction? Is your reaction worship? Is your reaction saying, Lord, now do whatever you want to do in my life? Then your responsibility, giving the missions and telling people about Jesus at the job and getting equipped and coming to church on time. We can show up for our jobs Monday through Friday on time, but yet come to church late. I don't get that. It's your responsibility. I don't get any extra jewels for showing up to church. I get to come to church. It's with a grateful heart. It's with a grateful spirit. I don't give to missions. I get to give to missions. Because I know if I'm giving to missions, listen, God has done a work in my life. No longer am I a thief, but I'm a giver. Only Jesus can do that. And then the result, God wants to bless you. The Bible says all your sin has been forgiven. Hello? He's washed you. He's purified your hearts and lives. Why? So that you can live for God. So on this day, you can say, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Is he alive in your life, church? Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Oh, God, we thank you. Jesus, we praise you. Lord, may we be like the wise men who brought, God, just the myrrh and the frankincense. Oh, God, the gold as a sign of worship to you. Lord, they bowed down in reverence. The shepherds, they saw, they worship. God, the prophetess Anna, she worshiped. Simeon, he worshiped. Mary, worship. Joseph, worship. Lord, how is our worship? This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder this morning, we could have went into the direction of Mary and Joseph searching for a place to lay their heads. The Bible said simply that there were no more room in the inn. Are you making room for Jesus this season? Are you living out your purpose? for Jesus. Church, this was the greatest gift. May we not ignore such a great salvation. When God spoke, when God broke his silence, oh, what a celebration that it was. Have you acknowledged him? This morning, I'm not trying to persuade anyone or